Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds with Bible Truth for Living. We sure appreciate you listening today. I'll be preaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in a moment, but a couple of announcements to mention. First of all, today, if you're listening on Sunday, March the 24th, we have a guest speaker with us. His name is Dave Napier. He is with the Institute for Creation Research. Dave travels all around America presenting messages regarding the problems with evolution. He teaches on Bible apologetics, worldview, those sorts of things. But recently, he has been doing conferences on the Great American Solar Eclipse that is coming up on April the 8th, just a couple of weeks away. So he's going to be with us today at 10 o'clock at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. We're located at 817 Woodland Drive here in Mount Vernon, Illinois. We call it the Countdown to the Great American Solar Eclipse, 10 o'clock today with guest speaker Dave Napier from the Institute for Creation Research. I think you'll get a lot out of this and give you some insight on the upcoming eclipse and also looking at it from a biblical point of view. And then just a reminder that we will be celebrating Resurrection Sunday next week. The final day of March, March 31st, is Easter Sunday, and we invite you to either church where I have the privilege of pastoring, Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, 10 o'clock in the morning, or Waltonville Community Church at 11:15 a.m. So be in the house of the Lord somewhere as we celebrate the most important day in Christianity, other than the crucifixion, and that is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And then I'm going to skip down to verse 8. He says, "We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." According to Guinness World Records, the largest family reunion was held in France in 2012. It was attended by 4,514 relatives. The largest family reunion in the United States was held in 2009 by the Lilly clan of Flat Top, West Virginia. Those relatives have been meeting every year since 1929. That's a long time. Just a little bit of family reunion humor. One person said, "A family reunion is that time when you come face-to-face with your family tree and you realize some of the branches need to be cut." I guess that's true. Another person said, "Family reunions are a lot like fudge. A lot of sweetness with a few nuts." Maybe that describes your family. It probably does mine, too. Happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another state. And so those are just some things, you know, when you think about families and family reunions, we all have those family members, and we may be those family members that are just a little bit different than everybody else. But what we're going to look at today is I want to talk about a glad reunion day that's coming for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, it's important to look forward to that because you're going to spend eternity with these that we're going to talk about today in regards to this glad reunion day. First of all, there is going to be a reunion of physical bodies with spirits. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." James chapter 2 and verse 26 says, "The body without the spirit is dead." So remember, we are composed of body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says there, and I read a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, "We are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." How can we be absent and present at the same time? Well, according to Scripture, that is because death is not the cessation of life or the end of life. It is a separation of the spirit from the body. Now let's talk about three types of bodies that we find in the scripture. There is, first of all, the temporal body. Now that's what Paul is addressing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read that again and explain a little bit of it. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," the word tabernacle, we could substitute the word tent. He's using an illustration for the physical body. He says, "We know that this earthly house or body, when it is dissolved, that is, when we die, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We're going to talk about that body in just a moment. But let's stay with this temporal body. Verse 2. He says, "For in this body, this tent, this temporary structure, we groan." Now, I identify with that. The older I get, sometimes I groan when I get out of bed in the morning, you know, a backache or leg hurts. And, you know, sometimes things will hurt and you don't even know why they hurt. You hadn't done anything, then you just wake up and they're sore, they hurt. We groan in this body. That just happens. And especially it occurs with age. He says in verse 4, "We know that in this tabernacle, in this tent, in this body, we do groan, being burdened." You know, as we age, it becomes a burden. It's difficult. You don't have that same energy and vim and vigor you had as a younger person. Why? Because this body is temporary. And then when we pass away, and I'm talking here about believers, but also unbelievers, we'll talk about that too, is we move to a transitional body. Now, Paul uses an interesting word there in verse 1. He says, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." Now, that word dissolved, it doesn't say disappeared or disintegrated. It is dissolved. Now, if you take etymology and break down that word, the prefix dis, D-I-S, means not, and soul, S-O-L, means alone. So not alone. And then the last part, the suffix ved, means next to or nearby. So we're talking about a body that is not alone, and it is next to, it is the next stage or the next step, this transitional body. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Here's what I mean. When a Christian dies, he or she enters the intermediate, or you can call it a transitional state, between life on earth and life in eternity. You know, we'll say, "Well, grandma's in heaven," or "mom is in heaven." What does that mean? Are they angels with wings flying around? Are they lying on a cloud playing a harp? Are they spirits floating aimlessly between earth and outer space? No, they are in a real place. They have real bodies. They are alert. They are active. They are aware as they await the next body that we'll talk about in just a moment. Now, I used an illustration at church that I really can't do on a podcast or radio program, but I likened it to an Alka-Seltzer. When you take an Alka-Seltzer tab and drop it into water, it begins to dissolve, all right? So, you know, and when it does, it dissolves very quickly, and then it begins to lose its fizzle as it begins to incorporate into the water, all right? And that's the picture you have. The Alka-Seltzer doesn't disappear. In fact, the law of conservation of mass says that matter is neither destroyed nor created. So what you have taking place there is a chemical reaction, and what you have is a chemical product. Alka-Seltzer into the water becomes something that we take like an antacid, all right? So it doesn't disappear, it just dissolves. Now, the human body, the Bible says it goes back to the dust, all right? And the spirit goes to God who gave it. This body does not disappear, it just dissolves. But as this body, this human body is dissolving, that spirit is in a transitional body. Now, the Bible does not give us a lot of information about the bodies of people in heaven. I don't know why God chose not to give that to us. I suspect maybe it's because if we knew how wonderful it was, we would be so miserable on earth looking forward to that. You know, Paul said, "Eye has not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." And so, you know, we don't have much to go on, but we do have some. In fact, we have more information about the transitional body in hell than we do heaven. And that is in the story Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus. I want to read that from Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. Jesus says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So here you have two people. One is wealthy. He's well off, nice clothes, a lot of food, nice home. Then you have a poor man who is just, he's eating of the crumbs. He has sores and just not a very pleasant picture. But verse 22 says, it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, it's the poor man. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I don't have time to teach that and break that all down, but just know that the term Abraham's bosom is a euphemism for paradise or for heaven, all right? So the angels carry him there. And so he has to be in some sort of body, all right? That's a transitional body. His physical body would have remained where it was. But his body is carried to, or this transitional body is transferred to heaven. And then it says the rich man also died and was buried. Well, what was buried? His physical body. But verse 23 says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Now, how could he do that if he didn't have a transitional body? The physical body was buried, but the transitional body is in hell. And notice in hell he has eyes. Now, all of these things we see about the rich man in hell, we know they must also apply to Lazarus in heaven, because he would have no less than what the man in hell has. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes being in torments. So he had feeling. He could feel the flames of hell and the loneliness of hell. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried. Well, that tells us that he had a voice. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. So apparently he has a memory and he recognizes things. So he's not in oblivion, that he may dip the tip of his finger, Lazarus. So Lazarus right there tells us he would have a finger, and water and cool my tongue. So we see a tongue with this transitional body. It's hot. He wants to be cooled. He says, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of that scripture, but I just want to point out that both of these men who died physically, their bodies remained on the earth, but they have a transitional body for heaven, one for heaven and one for hell. And the Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's referring to Christians whose bodies are in the grave, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So that's not talking about God bringing their physical bodies, because the physical body is in the grave. That body's going to come up. We're going to talk about that body in a moment. What is God bringing with him? I submit to you, he's bringing with him the transitional body between life here on earth and life in heaven. So if you have a loved one that was saved and they are in heaven today, they are in a real place in some type of real transitional body awaiting this third body. And that body is the transformed body or transfigured body. Now, we're going to talk about the rapture. When the rapture occurs, the physical bodies of those who the Bible calls the dead in Christ or asleep in Christ will reunite with their spirits or this transitional body to receive a glorified, transformed body. You might think of it as the ultimate body transformation or the ultimate makeover. You know, sort of like you'll see these weight loss commercials of before and after. You know, before they're overweight and glum looking, and then the after picture, thin and they're happy. There's a change here. Apparently, it is some type of change of molecular structure. You say, that just sounds too far-fetched. Well, I just believe what God says in his word. And if the creator can create man out of the dust of the earth and can speak the worlds into existence, I believe he can control the molecular structure of human bodies. Now, here's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why is that? Why can't a physical body inherit heaven? Because it is tainted with sin. We're corrupt, all right? We have inherited sin, so we can't go to heaven in these bodies. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. This body corrupts. It gets old and tired and weary and sick. But in heaven, it's incorrupt. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There's a change there. Now, I mentioned a while ago the Alka-Seltzer in water is a chemical change. Did you know you can't undo that? You can't take the Alka-Seltzer tab out of the water once that has occurred. It's a chemical reaction. The same thing here, all right? You don't go back to the old body. There's a new body here. He says, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, those bodies in the grave, shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the bodies in the grave, when the rapture occurs, will come up, but they won't come up sick, cancer-ridden, paralysis, and accidents, and all those things. No, it'll be a new type of incorrupt body. And those who are alive when the rapture occurs, and we could be living in that generation, also will receive a change, a transformation in our bodies. What will that be like? Well, Philippians 3 and verse 21 says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, referring to Christ. So what do we have to go by there? Well, that would be the body of the resurrected Christ. What was it like? Well, the Bible says in Luke 24, verse 30, when it came to pass, as he, Jesus, sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So he was able to move beyond space and time. He just vanished. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So he communicated with them and explained some things to them. Now, verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Here all the disciples are in a closed room and Jesus suddenly appears. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. But Jesus wants them to know that he is not just a spirit. He says, behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So apparently this new transformed body has flesh and bones, but it's not limited by space and time and can vanish and appear and reappear. Blood is not mentioned here, and I think that's rather interesting. There has to be a reason for that. It also says that he took a piece of fish and honeycomb and he ate with them. All of that tells us just a picture of what this transformed or transfigured body will be like when we finally get those glorified bodies at the rapture. Now, that's the reunion of bodies with spirits. Number two, the reunion of dead with living believers. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about the dead in Christ being united with those who are alive in Christ. It says that in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Them is referring to those who were buried in faith, being reunited with those who are alive in faith at the rapture. Now, who will we see there? I believe, first of all, we'll see the great patriarchs of the faith. Many of them are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith Abel, and by faith Enoch, and by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Jacob, by faith Isaac, and by faith Moses, even by faith the harlot Rahab. Even someone who is a former prostitute will be there at the rapture. And, you know, there will be some people there. You'll be surprised they are there. And I'm afraid to say there are some that you think will be there who will not be there. And maybe they haven't placed their trust in Jesus Christ. Whatever the case, just imagine we'll be able to, for eternity, sit down and interview Noah and ask him about the time he preached for 120 years building the ark. And Abraham, what is it like as you got ready to sacrifice your own son and God intervened? Moses, what was it like receiving those 10 commandments? And Samson and David and Peter and Paul and John and all of the great patriarchs of the faith, we're going to see them one day. Not only that, we will see the previous generation of faith. And I'm talking about those that are in your own family background that possibly are the ones who made it possible for you to come to Christ. I believe there's a good chance that some of us are Christians because of a decision made for Christ by a family member 200, 500 years ago. You know, maybe at a time during one of the Great Awakenings, there was a family member who trusted Christ and the spiritual legacy of the family began there and was passed down. That's very possible. Now, one question people ask is, will we recognize them? I've never met my great-great-grandfather. Will I know him? Well, I think so, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. Here in this temporary world, we really don't see a lot, only with what senses we have, but we don't understand everything there is to know. But he says, then face to face. When is then? Well, that's when we get to heaven. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known, which means we're going to know people and people are going to know us if we have never even met them. You say, now, wait a minute, is there any example of that in the scripture? Yeah, there is. That would be on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you remember, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him up on the mountain and he was transfigured and two men appeared with him. And it was Moses and Elijah. And if you remember, Peter said, let us, Lord, make three tabernacles or three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. How did Peter know that was Moses and Elijah? He couldn't Google that. There was no internet. He didn't have a picture to go by. They lived centuries before the Apostle Peter, and yet he recognized them. So that same thing will happen in heaven. Now, again, there are some things we can only speculate about. What will we look like? How old will we be? We do not have that information. God chose not to reveal it, and that's a secret thing that belongs to him, but we'll find out one of these days. And then I think we will see the present generation of faith. You think of the people who in our own lifetime have gone home to be with the Lord. There are many of them, and I don't want to mention any names because I could possibly leave someone out. I'll just mention my own family members, my grandfather and grandmother. They were both saved people. My mom and my brother, they were saved, and they're in the grave, their bodies are, but they're in heaven today, and I'm looking forward to the day of seeing them again. And what great comfort that brings. You know, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If your loved one is saved, it's not goodbye forever. It's just so long for a while, and then I'll get to see you again. And then the last thing, the last reunion, and I think it's the greatest one, and that is the reunion of all believers with our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all of this possible. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to see him. I like the song we sing in church sometimes. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. You're going to see Jesus one of these days. John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know all the details, but we know that when he shall appear, that's Christ at the rapture, when we're caught up to meet him in the air, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice we must be like him, though, in order to see him. If you don't, if you are not saved, you're not like him, and you're not going to see him. And see, that's the important thing that we need to realize. When we talk about family reunions, you know, there are some differences in an earthly family reunion and a heavenly family reunion. First of all, in an earthly family reunion, only living relatives attend. All right, so if you have a grandparent or another family member that has passed away, they won't be there at the earthly family reunion. However, both the living and dead in Christ will attend the heavenly reunion. That's a greater reunion. Number two, an earthly family reunion is limited in time. Maybe it lasts a couple of hours. Maybe you have a weekend if you have a family reunion. But at some point, that reunion ends. This heavenly reunion is going to last for eternity because the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then lastly, an earthly family reunion is open to guests and non-family members, all right? You can invite a friend or maybe a boyfriend or girlfriend will attend a family reunion or a neighbor, a playmate or something. But the heavenly family reunion is exclusive. It is only for those who are in the family of God. There are no outsiders allowed at this glad reunion day. It is only for those who have placed faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you that question. Are you in that family? Are you in the family of God? Will you be at that glad reunion day? You can be. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Well, you need to know that for sure, and you can know. God loves you. He sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross for your sins. He rose again. He now has paid the penalty for your sin. And if you'll repent and you'll ask him to save you, according to the scripture, you will be born again and you will be placed into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I hope that you can say that. Well, thank you so much for listening. As we close out the program, let me remind you, today is the countdown to the Great American Solar Eclipse, 10 o'clock this morning at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. Hope you can come be a part of it. And then next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, March the 31st, 10 o'clock at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, 11:15 at Waltonville Community Church. If you have your own home church, we encourage you to be there as we celebrate the resurrected Savior. The tomb is empty and he's coming again. Thank you for listening. I look forward to being with you at our next appointed time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.